Austin, I'm so glad summer has finally arrived in California, something I thought that would not be possible because we had so much rain in the past few months.
Is it summer or is it spring?
It's kind of spring, but it feels like summer. I just want to forget about spring. I just want to jump directly into summer to make up for the bad, bad, cold, wet winter.
I do think it's weird that we're having the equinox this week. Daylight and darkness are 12 hours each is the equinox. And they call that the beginning of spring. But the reality is in a few weeks, we start really feeling summer weather, but they don't call it summer until the solstice.
Yeah,
until when the days actually start getting shorter. So I always thought summer was kind of half of what we call spring and half of summer. But anyway, I get your point.
This is Yanks and Krauts.
And I'm feeling a little cranky today. So maybe today we're yanks and cranks.
Let's listen to this guy. His name is Ken Bock, and he just announced he would retire from politics.
I think this place is dysfunctional. For example, I am the number third ranking member of the Judiciary Committee. I haven't even asked my questions yet. 40, 50 people have gone before me. But a lot of this is personal, and that's the problem. Instead of having decorum, instead of operating in a professional manner, this place has just evolved into this bickering and nonsense and not really doing the job for the American people.
That was Ken Bock saying, "Buck you to Congress." What do you think about that?
Because it means that super bright candle on this huge birthday cake, her name is Lauren Boebert. She will have trouble to get back in Congress again. And he did it probably on purpose to make it harder for her to get back into parliament.
And a bright candle she is.
Oh, yeah. What a bright candle. I mean, I really do admire her. And I just say Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice. That was a highlight of her political career. Yeah.
If you say it three times, Beetlejuice appears. He just basically said he was fed up. You know, he's not supporting a fake impeachment. He's just fed up. Congress isn't doing anything, and he is out. So what I was reminded of this week, how much of our news right now is being driven by the former President Trump. And I'm being reminded of the anxiety and the unease I felt the whole time he was in office, starting actually a year before when he started his campaign. And for a couple of years, I really haven't had to think about the news so much. And now it's all kind of coming back up. And for that reason alone, I wouldn't want to see him. I mean, there are dozens of reasons, but for that reason alone, I wouldn't want to see him be elected again.
It was interesting to see when Joe Biden became president that the subscription numbers of many newspapers went down. The New York Times was the most prominent one because people were not afraid anymore. They didn't feel like, oh, I have to read the news to follow all the nonsense and to see if there is some form of danger coming closer. So I bet it's good for all the news channels, the serious newspapers like the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. Their subscriber numbers will probably go up in the next few months again.
Maybe, yeah. Everybody's like, what do they call it? If you're online, it's doom scrolling and doom reading. Ammunition sales leveled off after a few months. You know, there was a period there after Obama got elected where ammunition was hard to find. I mean, there were Americans in our red states that were feeling a real shortage. They were so worried that people were coming to take their guns and they needed to get ready for the Civil War. I still worry about them because their ammunition's still stockpiled. But yeah, crazy, huh? So we had a few years, maybe a couple of years, kind of relatively level life in America. And then
it was chill. It was relaxed. And now the level of tension.
Yeah, I feel the tension coming back up. Yeah, I don't want to say too much. I'm afraid to out myself, but I do occasionally enjoy going shooting. But there was a point where I would call like a gun shop to ask them what was available, and they would just laugh. You know, there were long lines. You had to get on a waiting list, and it wasn't just for COVID.
Just to buy ammunition?
Ammunition or guns, yeah. Every time there's talk about, sadly, this is one of the creepy tragedies of our country, but whenever there was a shooting, a school shooting or a mass shooting, gun sales would reliably go up the next day and would stay up for several weeks. Because with every tragedy of that sort, the gun people. And I kind of hate that we're giving them so much time right now, but I certainly could go down this rabbit hole. But anyway, yeah, the gun people would expect or anticipate regulation, and they would hit the gun shops. You can actually go online and find discussions about whether or not having 10,000 rounds of ammunition is enough.
It is probably not, right? You just told me the other day, you can't, that people say, not you, but people say that you can't have enough ammunition. Right?
Literally, you will find people online, and I'm pretty sure most of them are in red states. Not all. I know people here. And they usually say, well, if you go to the range, you're going to fire 100 to 200 rounds in a day practicing, and you should practice. And 10,000 rounds of ammunition is a lot of ammunition. It's like five to 10 boxes, cases of ammunition, like the big ones, like the mini suitcase sized ones.
Let's talk about Ken Buck again.
Yeah.
Really made it hard for Lauren Boebert to get back into Congress in November, right?
He stepped down, and his position will either be, I don't know if there's someone will be appointed or if there'll be a special election, but she can't be eligible for either of those because she's a sitting congressperson in another district. That's the trick. Mm. So they're going to get somebody else in there who will have a few months anyway to establish themselves as the congressperson. She will end up running against that person as an incumbent. And incumbents tend to have an advantage because they have the trappings of the office. You know, they send out their newsletter and it says that they're the congressperson. So that's what I think the trick is. She could overcome it if people like her or not.
I was going to change the subject, and we have to talk about something much nicer. The Oscars, the Academy Awards. That was an amazing show. I didn't watch it, but I saw the clips afterwards, and it was better than previous years. The ratings were better. Everything was just better. And this was the first Oscars that I missed in 7 years.
Great Oscar show. And I'm going to have to say this was a good year for film. So here are my observations about the Oscars. I think you need to know, these are my principles, I think you need to know that the Oscar, the Academy, is really designed to produce a good show. I don't know if they're the best organization for finding the best films, but they produce a good show. Okay, principle number one. Principle number two, the nominees are often people to watch and movies to watch. They often come up with a good list of movies to watch and see. And I think that was mostly true this year. But for instance, we talked about a film, Origin, a couple of episodes ago, completely overlooked because it was not produced with a bunch of studio money, got no advertising. Maybe it wasn't the kind
of... It has to fulfill certain requirements. It has to run, for example, in movie theaters for a certain time. And then it has to run in a certain time frame, and I'm not sure if they could easily made it into the Oscars. It was a Netflix production. It had all the and it was in the movie theater. So I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to send it to the Academy Award.
It won other
which
awards.
Is a highly democratic process, by the way. So it's, you know, all the films there, they get votes, and
you're killing me because I am so pro democracy. But it doesn't work well for everything. They need a dictatorship, damn it. A strong man to pick all the movies.
Donald J.
Oh, God. Could you imagine Donald J.'s movie list?
Let me just play this sound clip from the end of the show, okay?
Okay.
I just got a review, and has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? His opening was that of a less than average person trying too hard to be something which he is not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent. See if you can guess which former president just posted that on Truth Social. Anyone? No? Well, thank you, President Trump. Thank you for watching. I'm surprised you're still, isn't it past your jail time?
So that was our tribute to Trump. Let's go back to the Oscars.
So Trump did not like the Oscar show. I thought it was an excellent show. So let me get back to my principles. Okay. You do get a pretty good list of movies from the Oscars.
Agree.
If you watched all the Oscar movies, you'd probably be satisfied. But they do occasionally look significant films. I do not know what the particulars were about Origin, if it had enough theater time, et cetera. Certainly, if a film is moving in that direction, they can adjust those things to make it eligible. I remember when they used to release movies like a little earlier, a little late, depending on what year they wanted it to run in, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. All right. Three, you know, so the way the Oscars works, the people that are voting on these are people who are in the academy. They're people in the industry, and they're often overworked and sometimes very self-involved, maybe the actors, but they're often very overworked people. And I know people that were part of the academy for like, you know, some minor technical thing or something. We had a neighbor once who, this is back in the days of VCR tapes. That's how long ago it was. She would sometimes hand me a couple of tapes and say, I don't have time, but if you watch these movies, tell me what you think. So,
you could watch the nominations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So they used to all get a tape, or then it was a DVD, and then now they and all have access online.
Sometimes it would end up online. One of these DVDs that were copied, and they had the numbers in there, and now I think they have everything under control. Now you can.
Well, yes and no. I have a friend who gets access to the online films from a friend of his who's in the academy.
No way.
And yeah, so he has the code, and he can watch movies, or at least he was able to a couple of years ago. But anyway, so, you know, people are busy and they don't see all the movies all the time. And the movies they tend to see are the ones that get a lot of publicity, you know, momentum. This year that was Oppenheimer. And Oppenheimer was the movie this year, right? It had the momentum of an oil tanker out of control on a small harbor. I mean, that thing was going to crash on through for a little while. It looked like Barbie had that kind of momentum. But anyway, so yeah, so those are my principles. You know, if you really think about it, they produce a good show. You get a pretty decent list. They're voted, you know, the films are voted, voted on by people who are really busy and don't see all the movies. And what happens is what you were talking about. If you have not seen Oppenheimer, and it comes time for you to fill out your ballot, you just put Oppenheimer down. Or maybe you like an actor, or maybe. So that happens. Not the best vehicle for promoting films of consequence often. They don't have the advertising. If they don't have the buzz, you know, a film might get overlooked, as has happened. So anyway, I will say, let me talk about a couple of films and a couple of people that I thought were overlooked. So the big overlooked film this year is Killers of the Flower Moon. When Emma Stone won the award for Best Actress, I immediately said to my wife, I said, she probably is thinking right now about how much she's going to get harassed online because the actress in Killers of the Flower Moon, Lily Gladstone, who was incredible in that film, did not get recognized. And you're thinking, Emma Stone's thinking, oh my God, I'm going to get flamed and canceled for like beating out this Native woman, this Native American woman. And my wife got on her phone, and within a minute, there are already people online talking about how Lily Gladstone was robbed. It was like within a minute.
And to be honest, I agree that Killer of the Flower Moon wasn't a great movie. It was a decent movie.
It was a little
movie.
Choppy, I thought.
Yeah. I didn't like it much. And it was, in my view, I told you that before, I felt like a little bit misled by the story, because you assume that DiCaprio would turn into that good guy at the end, and he
you were disappointed by reality.
Exactly. It was very realistic. But anyways, what I wanted to say is that Lily Gladstone played a remarkable role. She was really, really good, and
it was subtle. The Academy Awards don't like subtle. You know, it wasn't histrionics. It wasn't, you know, Emma Stone. I saw that movie. I thought it was a good movie. You cannot watch Poor Things with your children.
Okay.
It should be a movie for kids because of the fantasy element. It is full of nudity and sex.
Which is not a bad thing. Come on, I'm from Europe.
It's not the kind of sex you want your children to see.
Oh, okay.
So just take my word for it.
Okay, good.
Anyway, I thought she was great. But you know, she plays, she has to do this character. She plays a female Frankenstein's creature, Frankenstein's monster. That's essentially what the movie it was to me. It was kind of a retelling in modern and maybe feminist terms of a Frankenstein type creature. Modern, it's kind of a steampunk. It's set back in like the late 1800s, early 1900s or something, but with fantasy elements. It's an interesting film. But anyway, she starts out as like a child. She literally is a child. I don't want to give away too much about the movie, but she literally has the brain of a child. And we see her development, particularly her sexual development. And there are moments when it's pretty disturbing. Okay. Because you have an adult body with the brain of a child having sex. There's a high creep factor.
Okay.
Anyway, my point is Emma Stone got to play this growing character. She plays this.
And she's a great actress.
She plays an infant in the beginning. Mm-hmm. She, you know, walks like an infant, wets her diaper. You know, it's, and then by the end of the movie, she's a fairly fully developed, very sexual being, very liberated. That's interesting. She had this remarkable role to fill. I think Gladstone was as good, maybe even better, but it was such a subtle role. But that was the observation I came away with. And I think I probably knew this years ago, is the Academy Awards doesn't really go for depth or subtle. You know, they go, you know, it's the actor who lost 100 pounds to play a role, or the actor who gained 100 pounds to play a role. It's the actor who's doing something kind of wild. Not necessarily the best movie ever, I thought. I thought some of the editing was a little choppy, some of the storytelling a little choppy, but Flower Moon, Killers of the Flower Moon, everybody should see that. I would say the same about the movie American Fiction. And the problem with American Fiction is that Jeffrey Wright, who's the actor in that, does an incredible job. Incredible job, but you know, he's up against a guy playing Oppenheimer, who also did an incredible job. Cillian Murphy,
that Irish guy,
yeah. So, you know, he loses weight, he adopts the posture. It's a big budget film, it's dramatic, it has all these moments of like angst, and you know, it's got some sex scenes in it. It would be hard to run up against that, but you know, you look at the list of the men who were nominated for Best Actor. Cillian Murphy easily could have been an Oscar winner. Bradley Cooper for Maestro easily could have been an Oscar winner. I didn't see Rustin with Coleman Domingo, but Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers, great film, great actor. And, you know, once Oppenheimer had the momentum, it seemed like it was going to take all those kind of marginal awards. You know, there's something else I noticed, too, is like in music, you know, the original song, Billie Eilish, What Was I Made For from Barbie, I believe she won the award. And again, if you look at the films that were nominated, for instance, American Fiction, great subtle soundtrack, and actually would probably be under musical score. Yeah, it was nominated. It was nominated for the soundtrack. Did not win. The winner was Oppenheimer again. But the soundtrack in American Fiction was like something you never hear in a movie. It was like jazz, and it was like some good jazz, and it was subtle, and it was always kind of in the background. And I thought, you know, I was listening to I was watching the movie, listening to the score, thinking, this is like really great music. No one's going to really notice it. It's not jumping out at you. You know, it's not Billie Eilish singing something. It's not like this great sampler of music from like a time period or something. So anyway, I don't want to dismiss the Academy Awards too much. I am going to speak to one thing though. This one kind of bugs me, and it's Best Supporting Actor. It was Robert Downey Jr. I thought he was good. I thought the role was a bit derivative. It reminded me of the Salieri character in the movie Amadeus many years ago. Again, you had these other actors like Sterling K. Brown. Incredible in American Fiction. Incredible. Great role. Great character. You know, a character with like all this inner turmoil, and it was all there and it was visible, and you know, and he's jealous of his successful brother who kind of gets out of the house, and guys, complex role, too subtle, you know, they go with the obvious one, you know, well, I don't know, maybe it was Robert Downey Jr.'s time to get an award. Anyway, so this year's was fun to watch. We had John Cena naked.
Was he really naked, or was he wearing kind of a naked suit?
Apparently they had him in a, I don't know what they call it, but like basically a jock strap. They had him in a little like bikini just to make sure nothing accidentally falls out.
Yeah.
Other than that, he was completely naked, and in front of his groin, he was holding the envelope.
Card. Yeah, the envelope
for the awards. And it was a funny scene. I mean, it was
hilarious. It was so good, and it was well played. Both Jimmy Kimmel and what's his name again?
John Cena.
John Cena. It was well played, and it was
and he's
so
a likable. He's a likable actor. Absolutely. I don't know what he's like in real life. He seems like he's probably a good guy.
Yeah.
Kind of sweet, a little simple is the role he plays.
Talk a little about Jimmy Kimmel, the host.
So Kimmel, I thought he did a good job. I don't know what to say. He did a good job. He was kind of funny. He interacts with people. He knows
he's always likable. He's a likable guy.
I think he is. Trump hates him. You know, I thought he did great. And he had his co-host from his TV show, Guillermo, on. And there's a running thing now. It's been the last time that they did the show, I guess, two shows ago. So, there's this gag that he has with Charlize Theron where, you know, he has a crush on her and she kind of flirts back. And this is what I like about the Guillermo piece. I get a sense of who's probably not a bad person by the actor who gives them some time on the red carpet. You know, some of them just look the other way and try to race by him. You know, he's being silly. He's like, you know, giving the actors shots of tequila. Maybe if you're, you know, a recovering alcoholic, you can't go talk to Guillermo. But Charlize Theron, a couple of Oscars ago, it was chatty and flirty with him, and now he's pretending he's going to marry her. Anyway, so I thought Kimmel brought, you know, he brought some good stuff himself. He brought his buddy Guillermo on. Donald Trump was, you know, upset with it before the show was even over.
We have to jump back to politics. There was some interesting news in today in the case of the Georgia election tampering case against Donald Trump. And I was, to be honest, surprised. What was the news, Austin?
Yeah, so more news that we would not have to listen to if it wasn't for Donald Trump. If you remember, the defense of multiple defendants, Donald Trump included, was that the prosecution was biased and that the prosecutor was benefiting from the prosecution politically and financially, and evidence of that was she hired somebody who it turns out she had an affair with. It's not exactly clear to me, and there, you know, we can't tell how honest she's being about this, about when they actually started their affair. Anyway, so the judge came up with a couple interesting rulings this week. This morning, he said that the relationship was not grounds for dismissal, but because of the appearance of impropriety, one of them had to go. So either Fani Willis has to step down or she has to fire or release the special prosecutor. So that case goes on. I think there also was a ruling, and see if I get this right, that the actual crime that was committed by Trump's phone call to the Secretary of State to look for more votes, that they weren't clear on what the crime was. So that one is on hold.
I know.
So they can re-prosecute, they can refile.
They probably will do.
Probably will. I mean, I think to the average person, it's pretty clear if the president calls you and you're in the Republican Party, that there's an implied threat. And when he says we need to find more votes, that what he's hinting at is, I want you to like make up some votes. But right now they're saying, unless you can name the actual crime, this one, we're going to let this one go. And the sad part is that seemed like the most obvious one. I mean, we had the president's voice on tape saying, you know, I just want to find
11,000 something.
From the right votes, 11,000 votes. So anyway, so a couple of big ones there. I guess we're anticipating that Fani Willis will probably stay on, or maybe
Maybe. She probably will, because otherwise they had to somebody new,
they have
and
to
then
change,
it, yeah, they have to change a lot, and so it's probably easier to fire Nathan Wade.
You know, there's a saying in law that if the facts are on your side, argue the facts. If the facts aren't on your side, argue against the prosecution. Trump seems to have invented a third one, which is argue against the prosecution, which he did with Fani Willis, and then add to that delay. Delay is his strategy here, is just to push this off. And that is the real effect of these challenges to these cases. Many of them, it's hard to believe his lawyers think they're going to win them, although I thought they did better with this one than I thought they would.
Let's talk about our last topic today. It is TikTok. Do you have a TikTok account, Austin?
I do not.
I have one, and I have to tell you, it is very addictive.
You
can't stop watching. It is so good. The algorithm is so good.
You dance on
TikTok? I used to have Instagram by Meta, by Facebook, which is also good, but Meta for a long time underestimated the power of TikTok, and now TikTok has 170 million members in the US alone, over half of the population of the US, and Congress decided that they want to ban TikTok here in the US, and I think rightfully so, because TikTok belongs to ByteDance, a Chinese company, and it is not far-fetched that the Chinese, of course, have...
It's already been demonstrated.
Yeah. For example, the Gaza conflict in Israel. Everything that is bad for the US is more relevant on TikTok, and you have the feeling it's being more promoted on TikTok. And I think it's the right decision to do that, to ban TikTok in the US.
Well, there's actually more pointed stuff as well. So I think it's already been proven that the Chinese government has used the monitoring of reporters. Now, you don't have to be using TikTok to be monitored. You just have to have downloaded it. Once it's on your phone, you're trackable. And the Chinese government tracked reporters who were meeting with Chinese dissidents, anti-government dissidents, to find and arrest the dissidents. So it has actually already been used in the most sinister way. And then we're talking about the propaganda effect. Absolutely. You know, if China invades Taiwan, guaranteed you're going to see pictures of Chinese soldiers giving, you know, candies to Taiwanese children and Chinese children giving flowers to the liberating Chinese. So you're going to see the propaganda like crazy. Gaza propaganda is already happening. And that to me is, I think, the concern people don't get. Everybody thinks that, oh, well, they're spying on us and I don't care if the Chinese spy on me. It's not just that they're spying on you. It's that when China does something like invades another country, they're going to flood your children with pro-Chinese imagery, pro-Chinese content. So you'll be having the argument with your children about, like, what's so bad about China invading another country.
We can already see that TikTok is telling its US users to call Congress, to leave voicemail. And it's so interesting that Donald Trump, he started the whole ban process 4 or 5 years ago, and now he's against it because he says...
In other words, he's now pro-TikTok.
He's now pro-TikTok because, A, he fears that he might lose votes, and secondly, he said, you know, if TikTok has to shut down here in the US, all the users will go to Facebook,
and
to Meta. And he hates Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO, and he hates Facebook because they banned him after the insurrection.
And he calls him Schmuckerberg or something. Schmuckerberg. Which,
he's,
by the way, is a racial slur. An anti-Semitic slur.
Of course.
Yeah, look up schmuck sometime or talk to somebody who speaks Amish.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hates Facebook. Facebook banned him. And also, he came out pro-TikTok the day after he was visited by billionaires who own lots of TikTok stock. And this is a guy, this goes back to the security clearance thing, this is a guy who owes a lot of people money right now. and some billionaires drop by, and and now with dark money campaign funding going into what do they call them, special PACs or whatever, you know, we're never going to know if those billionaires that visited Trump dropped $500 million or something into one of his accounts so he could pay his bills and run his campaign. So I'm going to ask you, this is my final question for the day.
Shoot.
So do you remember the Soviet propaganda network newspaper? Do you remember what it was called?
Pravda?
Do you know what Pravda means in English?
Something like the truth or so.
Truth.
Yeah.
What's network? What's the name of Donald Trump's?
Truth Social. Oh, nice thought.
He doesn't go very far. All right. Well, that's it for me today. I'm exhausted, and we're in for at least one more year of Trump derangement syndrome. I'm going to go take some aspirin. Call my doctor.